This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Reflections there from the Gemma Farrell Quintet from their debut album called Organised Chaos. My special guest tonight is a Perth-based jazz saxophonist, composer and educator. She has finished a gig called Jazz for the Juniors just a few hours ago, and she'll be performing very shortly, under an hour, as part of the Perth International Jazz Festival with her Artemis Orchestra. It's my pleasure to bid a very warm Bent Notes welcome to Gemma Farrell. Welcome, Gemma.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure indeed. Now, let's start with Jazz for the Juniors. What's that all about?
So that's a program run by the West Australian Youth Jazz Orchestra, and it's basically try to introduce jazz and jazz instruments to young children. So this morning we presented a program called Dizzy Disney, and we played a bunch of Disney tunes, sort of jazz arrangements with some solos put in as well, and in between each song we're telling them all about the instruments and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just a fun show for little ones, really.
That sounds like a lot of fun. When you're doing that, do you have a sense that something special is happening with any of the children?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, kids are always so eager to learn about, you know, they always have so much curiosity in them, and it's always so nice to play for young children. Yeah, I think they always want to hear, like, how fast the instrument can play and how loud it can play, and, you know, they always love hearing their favourite Disney songs, so it's always fun to do that.
Is there part of those children's responses that you would like to see migrate to the gigs with adults?
Oh, good question. You know, I generally, I've been pretty lucky and had some pretty good audiences. I think, you know, jazz is really, I think that there are plenty of people doing a really good job of promoting jazz, but commercial radio is always, I think if you're not someone who grows up listening to music or is a musician or is aware of what's happening in the music scene, you're just going to turn on your radio to a commercial station and hear commercial music. And it would be nice to have more people who aren't involved in the music scene being curious, I guess. Like, you know, when I tell people what I do, they're sort of like, oh, that's interesting. They very rarely take the extra step to go, like, oh, well, I'll come to a gig and check it out, you know. So, whereas I feel like kids want to experience every minute of everything. So, yeah.
I can understand that. That does make very good sense. What is it about adults, I wonder, that we lose our sense of thrill with new things?
We can be so busy, I think. You know, like, I think when you grow up, you just try and get by and try to get work and get to work and survive every day, and I can sort of understand that. I find it hard myself to get out to things, but yeah, I think everyone can afford to do a little bit more of it. And, you know, certainly when we have people supporting the art scene, whether it's jazz or classical music or dance or drama, the more people we have supporting it, the more it's likely to survive. Performing at the Perth Jazz Festival this weekend, you know, like, it happening next year depends how many tickets they sell this year. And, you know, I know last year, I had such a blast last year, but I know, like, because I know the organisers, so I know that it was a struggle for them and there was a lot of changes they had to make this year. And I know that this year's going better, but I still know that it's hard. And I think that's something people have got to realise. Like, when they go to a gig, a paid gig, and they pay the $20 or whatever it is to get in, they're really supporting the artists. They're, you know, not only are they, like, feeding them and their children, but they're ensuring that they get booked at that venue again. So many venues now say, what are you going to do to promote yourself? And I've even had, you know, venues threaten to cancel the gig if you don't sell X amount of tickets. And that's understandable because they've got to make sure that they're getting bums on seats and doing good businesses. It's tough for everyone. And yeah, it almost feels like you shouldn't have to go to that much effort, but you do.
Unfortunately so. But so the secret is that we adults are really busy, but we need to make that effort to get out there and actually see the live shows and support both, as you're saying, they're both the musos and the clubs. And now, I was having a look at your website today, Gemma, and I can see why you're a busy person, because I think I counted 8 different projects that you are involved with the Artemis Orchestra that you're performing with tonight in the festival, and also...
Yeah, we've actually just performed.
Just performed?
We performed at 3 o'clock Perth time, so I guess 6 o'clock Melbourne time. So, yeah, I've just had my last Perth Jazz Festival gig for the weekend. That was gig number 5. And, yeah, I'm now going to enjoy Veronica Swift tonight, who's here from New York.
Oh, fantastic. What a great way to end the night for you.
Yes, I'm very excited, and I'm very happy, but also very relieved the weekend's over and everything, and I survived it basically. Everything went well.
I'm pleased to hear that. Now, your quintet of about 6 years duration so far, it fits somewhere into your busy mix for your musical life. What's important about that quintet to you?
You know, I think when I moved back to Perth, getting an original project together was so important for me. I moved back to Perth in 2013, and I'd been away for 6 years. I studied for 2.5 years in Brisbane and then 3.5 years in the Netherlands. Then I came back and I just wanted to meet people and get my name out there and sort of be thought of for any sort of gig. And doing my own project has always been, it's the reason I do what I do. Like, I teach a lot and I love teaching, and I think education is incredibly important. But as much as I love it, it's not the reason I became a musician. I wanted to play and to write my own stuff. And the quintet has, you know, I put together a group of instruments that I liked, basically. I wanted to have guitar because, you know, it's a bit more portable than a piano, and I sort of like digging into that heavy metal sound sometimes. Trombone I've always found to be a very funky instrument. Yeah, I'm so happy with how it's worked out. I've got a really nice group of musicians now, and, you know, I bring in ideas and I bring in notes on a page and they turn it into music.
Isn't that wonderful when you can do just that and the members of the band just do so well in interpreting what you want?
I'm a very lucky person.
Now, you're touring the eastern states of Australia starting the end of this coming week, I think it is. Up at the Sydney Women's International Jazz Festival, the Brisbane Jazz Music Institute. You're also down here in the Jazz Lab in Melbourne.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. Yeah, we're playing Thursday night in Sydney for the Sydney International Women's Jazz Festival. We're doing a double bill with Tamara Murphy with her band Spirograph from Melbourne. And I actually got to meet Tamara on Friday night. I played with Chelsea McBride from Canada on Friday night, and Tamara was the supporting act for that. So I got to meet Tamara, and that's really cool because we're doing a double bill together on Thursday at the Foundry 616 in Sydney. And then we're going to Brisbane. Brisbane's always been a very special place to me because I lived there for 2.5 years and I made some really good friends there. Yeah, I didn't want to leave them off my tour list. And then Melbourne is such a jazz hub. Yeah, I definitely wanted to make sure we got to Melbourne. Plus, I have a little bit of family there as well, so it's always nice to see them, and so many jazz musicians from Perth sort of get frustrated with how small it is here and move to Melbourne, so it'd be good to catch up with some friends.
You'll have lots of people to be able to catch up with on here in Melbourne, and that performance here in Melbourne is on Tuesday, November 19 at the Jazz Lab. It's presented by the MJC, the Melbourne Jazz Cooperative. and what a great job they do in supporting and publicising so much different jazz around the place.
Yeah, I haven't really known much about them prior to, you know, having to organise this tour, and it's so great. So many of these organisations have people who are working their butts off and not getting much back for it, obviously, other than the joy of seeing their work realised, I guess. But yeah, it's always so great to see organisations like that really thriving and supporting. You know, they've really got no reason to support me because I'm a bit of a random from Perth. But it's nice. I'm very grateful to them.
But as you've just said, there are so many Perth musos who come over here, and they all need to be supported. And of course, there are musos that have wandered back to Perth after spending a bit of time in Melbourne as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice scene here. Like, there's some really nice people, and the past couple of years, it's been more of an inclusive scene, less of a boys' club. I think a lot of that has to do with Mace Francis taking over as artistic director of the Jazz Festival, and Jamie Ollers here has been really proactive in advocating for women in jazz at WAPA these last few years, and I feel like a lot has improved. I was actually, when I went away and I moved back, based on what it was when I left, I was a bit fearful of moving back again. But there's so many more women involved in the scene now, which is obviously nice if you're a woman like me to feel like you have friends and people who get it.
But it's also good for the music. It's also fantastic for the music.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Like, whenever the Artemis Orchestra performs, it's a predominantly female big band, and we play music only by Australian women. So I sort of talk about why we do what we do. And the more diversity we have in our culture, in our society, like whether it's diversity in gender or sexual orientation or race, like the better off we are. And like, I think musically, when you have people who have, like, most of my music is about all of my different life experiences. So, you know, when you have people with different life experiences creating original music, it's a really fantastic thing.
It is indeed. Gemma, thank you so much for spending time on the phone tonight talking to us here in Melbourne on Bent Notes. And we wish you every success with the tour coming up here on the East Coast, and, of course, with every success generally from a musical perspective as time goes by. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.